This is my first note. I didn't even get to church, and I get a note from Bobby Harris. This is what he says. So I've decided I'm going to do this. This is what Bobby Harris wrote me on the way over. He said, "Happy Father's Day to all the fathers who make sure their food is on the table, their bills stay paid. It's hard being us, so take the day off." Okay, see you later. Anyway, I thought, what could I do on Father's Day? And then I thought, well, you know, I'm not much for preaching on like Father's Day. So I thought I'd finish up my last thing on giving. If that's okay with you all, and then we'll do something fun in the next hour. Okay? What I want to talk to you about, in we have been talking about tithing is under the law, and that giving's under grace, right? And so I want to do another aspect to that. And I do believe the Word of God means what it says, where it says it, to whom it says it to. And by the way, just so that you know, Ovid Kirkpatrick, the brother that is up in Nashville, just written a couple of our books and stuff. Ovid had a heart attack. Well, he didn't really actually have a heart attack. He thought he was having a heart attack, and thank God he didn't have a heart attack. He had the symptoms, and he had a 90. Anyway, he had quadruple bypass. I went and saw him yesterday on the way home, and it was a real blessing to see he was doing great. He was at home. I was shocked that he was at home. So, whatever all that's worth, but it was really exciting to see him. He was in great sorts, much better than I expected. So he said, "You look better than I expected too." I said, "Hey, they're trying to kill out the grace preachers. We need young guys like George and Terry and, you know, to step up to the plate where us old farts are getting, you know." By anyway, turn to 1 Corinthians.
By the way, I understand he's going to get on Facebook with us, so, you know.
He's actually on it, but he's one of my friends, but he doesn't get on it. You have to be on it to.
Well, I couldn't find him. I searched and I couldn't find him. I understand him, you know, they said he was going to get on it.
Oh, well, he will definitely be on it, he said, by the end of this week. So, turn to 1 Corinthians 9. Keeping you busy, aren't I? The tithe under the law. Giving under grace. Okay. Under grace. And what's really important to understand is that when you start talking about legalism, constantly they're putting you back under the what?
Law.
The law. And they do that. They say, "Oh, it's grace," but then they put you back under based upon tithes. And I'm telling you that grace can't go where that is. But you got to understand, why was there a tithe? Does anybody know? It was for the priesthood. And do what? The Levites didn't have any land. And so it was really kind of like, if you think of the tithe, it's more like a national tax than it was just a collection. Y'all understand? It wasn't like it was to operate the government of Israel, which was the priesthood. You know? And that is part of it. Now, I want you to know that the tithe did change in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, I have had the best week of Bible study up north I've ever had. I mean, people literally saw, hey, my grandchild's here. I love my grandkids. I only got one. It's William. Anyway, make sure you say hello to Will. Oh, and then Grandma. Yeah, she's the other force in the thing. I've got one force. I bet she's probably done more for the kid than I have. I've got to work on my grandfather's skills. I don't ever see him. You got to bring him by and let me keep him a little bit, and I get to know the little stinker.
Grandfather's supposed to go visit too.
Really? Okay, I'll go. I've been on my deathbed though. That's what other granddads do. What is Grandpa doing? He's dying. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so the thing that's fascinating to me about the tithe is that was instituted back here with who? Abraham. And he gave Melchizedek's tithes. That's where we got it, Genesis 14, right? But in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, got a text from Steve Atwood and Mary Atwood are texting me on their cell phones. They're in Pennsylvania, they said, but thanks for the call. My dad texts us, you know, an 80-year-old guy. You know, we have changed the face of history. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, no longer is the tithe just a tithe. And I started thinking about this in the aspect of churches that teach in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If I was teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I was teaching you to give, let me show you what it says. Go to Matthew. Matthew 6. And I want you to think about this. Verse 19. That's good. Well, you can come on up here, brother. You've been nominated. Matthew 6:19, he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Go to Matthew 19 now. And turn to Matthew 19 and read with me. See, God had the 10%. But when Jesus Christ came on the thing, you had to get rid of it all. Now, think of giving 10%. That's kind of tough. Amen? I mean, really, honestly, if we all gave 10% of everything that came in our house, there'd be some of us hanging on like this. Amen? You know, so you know, what we give isn't even 10%. But now, it's been stepped up. Think about giving 10%, and I'm not going to use except to mention the lady that gave all of that she had. She gave her 2 pence and they all mocked her and laughed at her. And he said, "You give 10%, but she gave all that she had." Well, look what he's about to require of this guy. In Matthew 19, verse 16, one came and said, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said, "Why callest me thou good? There's none good but one. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." And he asked, "Which?" Verse 21, come on down. And he said, "I've done that from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Verse 21, Jesus said unto him, "Thou wilt be perfect. Go and sell that thou hast and give to the what?" Now, that isn't a tithe. Ask given everything. The requirement for eternal life in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wasn't a 10% tithe, guys. It was giving it all. And you know what? Listen, there were people that were being stingy with 10%. You know what Malachi chapter 3 was all about? It's about that they had robbed them with the 10%. And now Jesus is saying, no, no, not 10%. You want eternal life, you got to do what?
Give it all.
Sell it out. And give it to the poor. You know how hard that would be? I mean, that flat screen TV you finally got, you know? You've worked all your life for it, and a poor person hadn't done a thing, you know? And you finally worked and worked your fingers to the bone. Am I doing okay? And you got to get rid of it for the poor person. Huh? And this is only a requirement to have what? Uh-oh, someone didn't like that. They said, I ain't giving up my flat screen TV. Okay, praise God. Thank God for grace. Amen. But if it was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in force, if we were teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, guess what? Bye-bye to the big screen TV you just bought. You know, I'll never forget when I first bought my 780i. You know, nothing now. Now they got the 1080i. How many have a 1080i? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'd have some crying boys then. Oh, look at Carlton. He's acting spirit. 1080i, I don't get that.
1080i is high definition.
All right, but hang on. Let me ask you. How many's got a 1080i? Raise your hand again. All right. How many's got the high definition hooked up? Oh, see, you guys... All right, this is what would happen on Father's Day if they lived in Matthew, Mark, Luke, what?
With 6.1 surround sound.
Oh, man. All right, this is what would happen if Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was in force today. Here it is. I'm not sure I want to live that long.
Not my TV. I guess I'll just have to go to hell.
Yeah. How hot is hell? You know, you see, I mean, you know, if it came down to giving up the 1080i, it'd be like some of us would have to give up Z3s. Wow, Z3. Or maybe they're Harley. You won't have to give up the Jaguar. It doesn't run. It's already give up for me. That was humor.
But at least it was washed and clean when you got home.
It was washed and clean. My wife, I don't know what happened to my wife, but she washed the dog, she washed my car, she washed my sheets. I came home and I've been taken care of like a king. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. If they were to have eternal life, they had to sell it all. You know how hard that would be? Buddy, I guarantee you, that would be just a little bit difficult. One last time, Luke chapter 12, verse 33. Again, what was the necessary need of this? Well, there was a necessary need because there was going to be a temptation given you, and God was actually... in the sense causing them to sell, to have grace on them. Because if they were tempted by this money or these things in their house, they weren't going to make it. And so God was really being gracious. But can you imagine the attitude was, I can't believe God's requiring us to sell it all. In fact, Ananias and Sapphira had a little bit of that feeling in going on. See, it wasn't a big deal. It was to Ananias and Sapphira. They kept back part of the jack. And I'm just telling you, it would be difficult then, it's difficult now, it's a difficult concept. But see, God wasn't trying to punish them into giving everything away. God was trying to give them access to eternal life. Do you all understand what I'm saying? in Luke chapter 12. 33. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves baths which wax not old. A treasure in the hail. And by the way, you need to put Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 right there in your Bible. And Matthew 19, verse 21 in your Bible right there. And then you want to have the answer why they did that all is in Matthew chapter 24. See, guys, what I'm trying to tell you is that the tithe went from 10% to where you had to give it all to have eternal life. And it isn't until you get Paul that something changes. Why? All of a sudden, the giving that you're giving isn't supporting a nation. The giving that you're giving today supports a minister. Completely different. You're not supporting an entire nation of people, you're supporting a man. The support isn't for the building. The support isn't for an organization. The support that people give today is for the man of God. And people get this thing all fouled up. They almost get it where the giving is for the building or the organization. You all understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's what we're taught in churches. That isn't the case. And that's where people make a big mistake. And in teaching, you know, we taught the tithe. Everybody pretty much understands, you know, once a year it was put up a bar, everything passed under, tenth divided out. Nobody's even teaching that, number one. Number two, when it comes to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it was given it all. And that's exactly what they did in Acts chapter 2. And people said, do you think he meant it literally? Well, the people that were the closest to him did it in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. Do you all understand? Sold out. And that they were given the distribution to every man as every man had need. Now, the 12 apostles did that. I can tell you, that would be hard. And it was hard for Ananias and Sapphira, and that's why they're in the Bible as an example. People say, well, I could do that if God required it. I bet it'd be harder to sell that 1080i than you think it would be. I'm just telling you. And we're not just talking it. We're talking everything that you've known. And I thought about my dad. My dad had fought in Korea and Vietnam. And he had stuff all over the world. We had antiques from my mother's side, which were like, well, I had a painting that was my inheritance for $500,000. It's gone. I mean, he had stuff. You know what I mean? He had plates and crystals that were worth millions. he had carved works from Thailand that you wouldn't believe. He had copper, brass, and all kinds of unique things from all over. Tiger skin rug. My dad had some unique stuff. You know what happened on the day of Ivan? There wasn't anything left. Can you imagine everything you've collected for 75 years all of a sudden gone? Everything. Every picture. Every photograph. Every painting, every aspect of your life, of the history of your life, every resemblance of anything you remember, completely gone. Can you imagine? That happened to him. It happens to people that get in fires. It happens to things. But you really never think about giving up all your stuff until it's completely gone. And so my dad was talking about inheritance and, you know, what do you like? Well, all the stuff that was really worth something is gone. He said, well, you know, what would you like? What, would I want his bedroom suit? I can go to Haverty's and buy the exact one that he's got. You know, it's not a family heirloom anymore in the sense of what you think of that. But the point is it was completely gone. And I know that was hard on my father. It would be hard on anybody. But here they had to do it to get eternal life. They had to do it to get eternal life. That's amazing, really, isn't it? And nobody really thinks about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the selling out and what that would have done to your mentality. And then you see Ananias and Sapphira, and then you start to say, hey, I understand why they're keeping back part of the money just in case this thing doesn't work. What happens if it doesn't work? We're going to be starving to death. Well, you know, that is a lack of faith. But today, where giving is concerned, so this was to support the priesthood. This is support the man of God. Yes, Carlton.
Just a little bit of perspective, but back then, weren't they under the power of the Holy Spirit?
Well, they didn't have it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John yet.
Yeah.
But they were going to get it later. But even with that, Ananias and Sapphira, who had tasted that, still had a hard time. They were able to suppress that. They had been baptized. They had done everything. Now it came time to sell out. It was still hard. So yeah, they were under the influence. Yeah. It would be hard no matter.
Still under free will.
Yeah, you're still under free will. Free will didn't change. And so, you know, go to 1 Corinthians now. So today, when people give, their generosity shows forth, it's really to support the man of God. It's not to support the, quote, the building. It's not to support the organization. And I'm not doing this because I need support. There's been many of you guys in this room that are incredibly kind to me. More so than I deserve. And for all that you have done, I am eternally and humbly brought by it, you know. I mean, I can just tell you, there's men of God in this room that people have gotten saved because of their kindness here. And I'm telling you, it's a great thing. Amen? I mean, it's a thank God for the faithfulness of men and women who commit themselves to there's people. I'll give you an example. I was on Lynn last Wednesday. Well, I didn't, you know, when I go up and do blood work, I try to have a Bible class every night I'm there. And I got to sit down with Allison and Bill, who hosted me and put me up in their house. And I sat down and showed them the mystery. They were both saved. Had a great testimony of salvation. And I'm like, hey, praise God, Christians. I'm like, this is great, because I've been staying with a lot of religious people, but they're lost. And I showed them the mystery of Paul and the gospel. And I'm talking 3-hour Bible study. They got up from that Bible study and says, my gosh, you have opened my eyes. I can't believe how incredible this is. So I thought, really? They said, for the first time, I understand my Bible. They've been saved since they were 40, and they pulled out of a legalistic church. Couldn't believe it was works. Kept reading about grace. Came out, but they didn't understand grace. They saw the conflict. They read 1 John and they saw all the conflict. And they said, now I get it. And so, and I'm talking about, it was as if the Lord was right in the middle of the room, guys. It was so exciting. We sat and cried for like 10 minutes from the joy of them seeing it. It was unbelievable. Well, had you not been able to support me, they may not have ever heard the mystery. It's incredible. But go to 1 Corinthians 9. And so Paul's making the case. He says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. My answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles? And as our brother of the Lord and Cephas, by the way, did Peter have a wife? Yeah. So celibacy in the Catholic Church doesn't quite work the way the Bible talks about it. And that's the proof right there. If you want to underline it or mark it or... Well, maybe you don't want to do any of that. But anyway, you could if you wanted to. Verse 6. Or, I only and Barnabas, have not we the power to forbear working? Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charge? Who planteth a vineyard and eat not of the fruit thereof? Who eateth who feedeth a flock and eat not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for the oxen? And of course he does. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? Well, Paul says, for our sakes no doubt this is written. That he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partakers of his hope. For if we have sown unto you spiritual things, now listen, it is a great thing if we reap your what? People don't think of that. I mean, what is it worth to know the truth? You know what the Bible says? Its price is far above rubies. You know what the Bible says? It says, buy the truth and sell it not. You know, the biggest thing in your life, the richest thing in your life, I was listening to a tape while I was driving down after seeing Obed. I've got to tell you about Obed. He's doing great. I was shocked. They may try to kill us, grace preachers, but we're bouncing back, I'm telling you, man. I'm like, go Obed. And he's like, wow, you look a lot better than I expected you to look, too. And it's like... two old men. We're sitting there staggering. Linda's having to hold us both. It was hilarious. It was kind of funny. You know, I can tell you guys, you know, there are people who understand the flight. But boy, when you're up there and you're trying to preach to people these spiritual truths, you know, people don't consider the value. Well, hey, he ain't got anything better to do than to come teach us. You know, he hasn't got anything. And I got to tell you, since I've needed help, and some of the men of the church have stepped up to help with get my rental house so I can have some income, I can tell you I am incredibly thankful. It's amazing. Because I can't physically do it. My legs won't give out. I mean, they're just totally gone. I don't know what's wrong yet, but people have given back. And I appreciate it. And I tell you, you know, I love sowing onto you spiritual things, but how about the great thing of reaping your carnal thing? You know, for all the 22 years, I've been in Montgomery 22 years. Can you believe that? And in the 22 years, the last 14 years, I haven't drawn a salary, haven't taken a dime from this church, and we put everything in it. And because of that, we've all worked together. People on the internet get to see for free. I have Miss King, Laura King's watching us every Sunday. I hope she's watching today, and hope she keeps emailing me. She's always a delight. She came across the grace message, and she's down in Elba, and. She watches us live and emails me almost every week. Man, Yeah, she asked about the baptism in Acts chapter 9. I'll get it to you. I've just been out of town. But we got the Harris family, people in California. We've got over 650 internet connections to our webpage right now because of all that you're doing, that somebody might hear the truth.
Amen.
That's incredible. And you know, guys, listen, that isn't a little deal. It's a big deal. We've got a grace church starting in Texas who put us up. I'm on a 40 or 50 inch plasma TV. I hope it's not high definition. That would scare you. I didn't think about asking. Probably a 1080i. I'm like, probably got my freckles on there and stuff. Huh? Why? That's not even funny, Carlton. Wide lens. We need wide lenses over here to catch it all. And now they're starting a great, you know, preachers are starting to come in. And guys, listen, that's what it's all about. But you know what? It does take money, doesn't it? And you know, nobody would say, okay, we're gonna let the oxen plow the corn, but they can't eat any of the corn. Huh? I mean, you wouldn't be mean to your animals. Yet, you know, I see grace preachers and people that are struggling. Now, I'm not struggling. You understand? I'm struggling with my health. You know what I mean? I told someone today, it was Lisa, had a sunburn. I don't feel sorry for her. Oh, I'm hurting. I'm in sunburn. Well, she was picking for her family, so we can feel a little sorry for Lisa. But, you know, when you're bathing out by the pool and you're getting a sunburn, I can't hardly feel sorry for you. My dad said, son, I'm broke. And I told my dad, I said, Dad, I doubt many people would have empathy of you sitting in a $2 million house saying you're broke. It means he doesn't have any cash. But he ain't broke. You know what I mean? And just like preachers having a tough time. Yeah. We know that it's a tough time because his battery's dead in his Jaguar. You know, he's struggling. I'm just telling you that with all that, the support of the giving, this is where we get confused. Today is not for the building. For the man and his mission and his ministry. You all understand what I'm saying? And that people get all bent out of shape. So what happens today in churches? You want to see what happens? People give. It goes into the bank, right? And then there's a treasurer and a board of deacons, right? And they determine how much to what? Pay the preacher. That's how it works in most churches. That wasn't ever the intent of God. Ever. You all understand? If the man of God sowed onto you spiritual things, it was a great thing that you would reap your carnal things. You all understand? It was an end of it. It wasn't a church thing. So what has churches done? They've come in and created this organization. And so they decide, hey, we want a bigger building. We want to do this and we want to do that. And so they start taking some of the money and putting it into the building. But the preacher might think, hey, you know, it'd be better if we didn't spend all that money and we go and try to get to more people. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I mean, you could literally cut down the ministry. Well, the giving today is all just artificial to support the organism that they've created. Not really the vision. In fact, I was talking to a guy the other day. He came to my house for a blood test. And he said, I started this church, and he said, I cannot believe where it has gone. You want to know why? You know what changed the vision and the direction of that church? What do you think it was? Right here.
Their mission statement changed.
Buddy, I mean, all of a sudden they could grab that stuff. And listen, let me tell you what. You know, one of the best examples, I think, of a man of God that has really done a great job was Brother E.C. Moore. I was so fortunate in my young to be able to work for Brother Moore. You know why? I have never met a man that was so giving. Ever. Ever. In the time I worked for Brother Moore. Now, Brother Moore lives in a very moderate. Have you been to Brother Moore's house? Very moderate. 204 Tower Drive down in Pensacola. It'd make your house look like a mansion. Very humble. And the furniture? Just average. And he built a studio in the back. That's where I worked when I worked for him. Right outside the back door where we would film his broadcast and log all of his tapes. And I sat and worked on 5 or 6 cars in the 6 months or 7 months I worked for him. I saw him a giveaway, ready for this, give away 7 cars. To preachers. Let's give them a car. Some of them were new. You go and buy them. He said, I noticed your tires are getting old. How's your car running? Heard Jerry once say, boy, it's had the hot water heater breaking. Next thing I knew, Brother Moore got him another car. Just like that. I have never seen a man so gracious. He didn't do it to brag. He didn't do it because he wanted to be seen a man. Nobody even knew he gave away. I bet you he gave away 6 to 7 cars while I was there, I guarantee you. To preachers. You know why? So they can make the Bible studies. So they could get out into the Word of God and preach and teach the people the Word of God without having any expense and without having a car break down and be out at 3 o'clock in the morning when we're driving back and being broken down on the side of the road in a broken car, wondering where God was. Not only that, I saw Brother Moore give away Bibles after Bibles after Bibles. Did he ever give you one? Diane? Bill, did he ever give you one? He gave me one. And pay for it. Hey guys, you know the preachers want the Word of God to go out. And I thank God that I had the opportunity to sit under there. Most people are stingy. And the more stingy you become, the more unlike Christ you are. And I watched Brother Moore give out Bibles. One time, Terry and I, how many Bibles did we buy, brother? We bought a bunch. We're like idiots. I forgot how many we bought. And these were like $100 Bibles, you know. And so we buy these Bibles, and Terry has this great idea. Man, I want some study sheets in our Bibles. So we sent them all off and had them rebound for another $50 so we could give out study Bibles. We thought it was the right thing to do. And you know why Terry and I did that? Because Brother Moore taught us to give. Great having a father in the faith, isn't it? Timothy had Paul. I was fortunate enough to have Brother Moore. Unfortunate for you, you got me. Sorry. Oh, well. It had to go downhill quick anyway. When Terry's been around, and Larry. Larry has seen us try to help out people in the church and just constantly trying to give. Because I believe the preacher ought to be an example of giving. Don't you? And I was fortunate to have Brother Moore. Do you know what? I reaped a lot of great spiritual truths from Brother Moore. And if I could give him every single part of my wealth, it would not equal the value than what I've gained. No way, no how. My life is totally different because of a man willing to stand up in a pulpit and tell me the truth about me. And I praise God for that. And that man of God should be honored. And you know, we're fortunate to have Brother Moore in our heritage, in the sense that I thought there was Obed, and he's got a heart attack, and I've been having congestive heart failure, and Jerry Lockhart was laid up for a year over in Selma, in Texas, and Brian's been beat up in the back surgery, and I mean, it just seemed like never gets up, but every one of these men of God came from one father in the faith. Brother E.C. Moore. And every one of us owes something to that man of faith. And what you get, you know, I was sitting there with that couple that last Thursday night, and they said, "Man, where did you learn this?" And I was able to say, "Let me tell you about the man who taught me." See, Brother Moore would go to places like Greenville and rent the room in Otagaville and teach the class. And nobody even thought he just traveled 4.5-5 hours away from his family and going to be driving. One night he was driving home in a Volvo and hit a cow. Hit a cow. I mean, it was like total the car on the way to a Bible class. Mrs. Moore, just 4 or 5 years ago, Mrs. Moore was driving. And they rolled the van, and Brother Moore, at 80 years of age, going to a Bible class to teach people the Word of God, to teach them how to rightly divide, to teach them about the difference between law and grace, and about tithing and giving, and to teach them all the factors of the faith. And he's sliding out on a windshield for about 100 yards down the highway at 80. Was in the hospital for 6 months. And you know, when you think about that at 80, most people think about just putting a fishing pole in the pond and just enjoying a little bit of bass. You know? Don't really think about teaching a Bible class, but all he had his mind on was someone getting the truth. I believe the preacher ought to be the number one giver. He ought to give when he's not willing to stand up, hardly stand up and give a message. But at the same time, it's a great thing for us to reap the carnal things. And so giving today is not for a building. And I appreciate the people. There were some that sent money. Because my bills are totaling up, buddy. It gets exciting when you don't have any insurance. You know what my insurance is?
Yeah. If it's not a good one, though, it came from Target, so we can take it back.
That's what my insurance is.
Good.
My insurance is you.
All right. Well, we've got some other ones around here. Maybe we can get one for downstairs for you if you think that one's not.
And that's tough.
Window.
Especially when you're a control freak like me. Because you like to be in charge of yourself.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't want one in the front window either.
That's hard. That's the part of giving that's so exciting, isn't it? When you reach beyond yourself. When you realize that, hey, You know what? The man of God has to eat. But I can tell you what a pleasure it's been.
How big are they? 23?
To be a Bible teacher.
23.
There is nothing I like doing better. This is it. And you know what Dad used to say? Son, if you ever found anything that you would be willing to do for free, well, I've done it for free.
It didn't look so bad to me. I didn't notice anything.
And I flat out love it. And I hope I work as hard as this as you do your job. And I don't preach these messages, you understand, that you might give. I that's up to you and the Lord. You all understand? I thank God it's great.
They're on the bed in the
And you know what? I hate churches that pass the plate and beg for money. And you know what? I believe that God's grace shows out in people's hearts based upon where their money is, though. You know what? Larry has a great saying, all of it's His. That's true. And you can't outgive God. But you ought to take 1 Corinthians 9 and marry it to 2 Corinthians 9 and realize that those two chapters really have this own. You are not supporting a... Listen. Don't pay because we have a light bill. Okay? Pay because of the truth you got. You all understand? Don't pay because we've got a mortgage. Pay because there's value in what you're hearing. Does that make sense?
Amen.
And then you won't have to worry about whatever else you've got to worry about. People get all burdened. I can tell you, when we bought this building, I have been flipping out. Just a little bit at times, you know. I used to be brown-haired when we bought this thing. Tony had hair. But you know what? Listen, let me tell you what. God has taken care of it. So I want everybody right now just to take a deep breath. Just relax. Because your Heavenly Father knows exactly what you have need of, and there is nothing to worry about. God is going to provide. All right, you guys take a break. We'll be back.